One.
Okay.
Yo, 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 it's your boy Sean Puff. I'm here with Mike K. And this is Smarks, Spum Monkeys, and Super Kicks. It's the NXT TakeOver In Your House review show. What's up, Mike? How you doing?
What's happening, man?
Nothing much, man. I'm up here in New Hampshire still. I'm at a kind of a little party over here, so I had to come out into the hallway. I'm like dipped up into a corner here to do a quick review of TakeOver. At NXT TakeOver In Your House. So this is probably going to be one of our shorter shows because I got a bunch of drunk girls in the other room that kind of want me to rejoin the party. So
yeah, I get back in there.
So they're like, should I be on the podcast? I'm like, yeah, no. They're like, you don't want us twerking? I'm like, well, that could. They said, we could bring up your views. Well, it might be right, but still.
Yeah.
But we went to the Black Lives Matter protest today. It was crazy up here in New Hampshire.
There you go.
No, dude, it was insane. We were there for about 40 minutes, and then we noticed a bunch of dudes walking around with like rifles, and then they were like doing hand signals. We looked up, and they were signaling to these dudes that were standing up top of the parking garage. Yeah. And then we left and went around the other side, and there were like 12 white dudes, like all camoed out with carrying AR-15s and shit.
Get the hell out of here, dude.
Dude, I swear to God. And like, two of them were taken aside by the cops, and they had their guns laid down on the ground and shit. I was like, all right, well, let's get out of here. I'm like, I'm good.
Seriously.
Yeah, it was crazy. Laconia, New Hampshire, man. So,
walking around with your freaking guns in your hand.
Get dude, there was a lot of them out there with guns. Like, I guess they were saying that they were there to protect the businesses.
Fine. So what are you going to do, shoot people up?
Dude, the rally started at 2.
I'm going to protect this place by killing people.
And here's the thing that really got me. You know what? If you want to stand in front of your storefront and guard your storefront, I'm cool with that. But why are you standing 4 stories up on top of a parking garage? No one's going to loot a parking garage, dude.
Yeah.
You're standing there to be ready to fire on people if you feel
right, exactly. Good for you, man. I would have freaking took it off as soon as I saw – just saw the guys with the freaking the rifles. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. See you later.
We saw the guys with the rifles, and they were kind of way off. And Sarah's friend Mel pointed them out and was like, look at those dudes with rifles. What the hell is that about?
Yeah,
and so we start watching them, and we're just kind of looking, and we see them. She's like, who are they signaling to? And we looked up, and we see these, like, 4 dudes standing on top of the garage, like, looking over with guns, and we're like, yo, time to go. That's it. I'm out because Black Lives Matter, so I'm leaving. Shit. But
yeah, because at that point it's not about Black Lives Matter anymore. It's about not being trigger happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
All it takes is one person to freaking do something, and you got a freaking firefight going on and a bunch of million people. Like, get the hell out of here. This is why I don't think that people should be allowed to walk around with guns in their hands.
Yeah, crazy, man. I was like, yo, you know me, I'm not like that scared person that gets scared of everything. Yeah. But I was just like, yeah, no, this ain't my scene. I'm gonna go home. Get ready for TakeOver.
Right, like, exactly.
And we left at 4. Yeah. It started at 2. We got there at like 3:45 maybe, and we were out fast.
Yeah.
Done. We did like one walk around. They did like a walk around. We did the walk around. I noticed a few sketchy looking people with like bikers, but I was like, all right, cool, whatever, they're doing their thing, and then that happened. We're like, all right, time to go home.
Yeah. There's no reason for you to be walking around with a freaking rifle in your hand. Get the hell out of here.
Well, that's the world we live in today, but at least on the other side of it, we had NXT TakeOver In Your House to kind of lighten the mood, make things better, and man, I enjoyed the show tonight. I don't know about you, but I enjoyed the show.
I thought it was good. It wasn't anything like – I didn't think of it as like a spectacular show. I didn't think it was like crazy amazing.
It wasn't the best TakeOver. It was good.
But it was a good, solid TakeOver. I mean, like, I think we've had this conversation before with TakeOvers. I mean – the worst TakeOver is still pretty damn good.
Yeah.
You know, because absolutely. The bar is so high for them that even when they have a bad night, it's still a good show.
Still a good show, yeah.
Like their bad nights are like, I think we've said it before, like their bad nights are like a three out of 5. That's like their worst, that's the worst possible grade you can give them. It's like a 3 out of 5 because most likely, and that's if like everything was just bad. The worst you can still be is a 3 out of 5. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think it was just it was good. I mean, they definitely, you know, as we watch these takeovers and these pay-per-views and stuff like that, you definitely see that the lack of crowds is like still kind of hurting the product.
Yep.
It doesn't have the same feel as it does when you have a live crowd there and the excitement and all the people there. It's just, you know, I mean, yeah, you have the NXT or the, you know, the, what is it? The
Performance Center people there.
Yeah, you have the Performance Center people there, and they're fine. They do what they can, but it just doesn't have the same, I don't know, it doesn't have the same feel.
Because they're not as much as fans. When you get fans that are just like marks, there's no marks there, let's be real. We give mark shit, but the marks kind of make the crowd.
Right, and it's just so, it does definitely lack it, and hopefully, you know, hopefully by the next one, things will be
back to normal in Boston, and hopefully
you would think by the time we get to the next one, we should be in a better situation where they can have, even if it's a smaller crowd, a smaller venue, you know, they can, NXT can benefit from having smaller venue crowds, because a Full Sail, I think, only holds maybe 10,000 people, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe 10,000 people, so you can, and I'm not guessing, I'm not even sure if that's even true. Might be less than that.
Yeah.
So you can get away with having a small venue.
Yep, absolutely. You're right.
And being able to do it. It's like, yeah, well, we only have like, all right, well, no shows more than 10,000 people. It's like, well, we can only get 5,000 in this place anyway, so we're good.
Yep.
If we test them all to come in, we should be good. I'm like, all right, great.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get right into it. The show started out with the six woman tag team match. It was Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, and Raquel, is it Gonzalez?
Gonzalez, yep.
And they took on Mia Yim, Tegan Knox, and Shotzi Blackheart.
Mm-hmm.
It was a surprising finish for me. I figured Shotzi was gonna eat the pinfall in this one, being the newcomer, the young person. Definitely wasn't expecting to see Tegan Knox do her thing like she did. Wasn't expecting the faces to win that match at all.
Yeah, I agree. And I was surprised they used the six-man tag for Tegan Knox to get some sort of like revenge.
Yeah.
That's why I picked Raquel in the first place. Cause I thought they would have done Tegan and Dakota would have been separated. Candice and Liam would have been separated, leaving Shotzi and Raquel left, and Raquel would have just, you know, taken her out. And
yeah, exactly. That's what I thought was going to happen. This match wasn't that great. It was an okay match to start out the show, but I wasn't, like, super impressed by it. There wasn't any, like, amazing spots. I mean, I love seeing Dakota Kai anytime, Tegan Knox too, but it didn't feel takeover to me. It felt like something that would be on a main roster pre-show, to be honest with you.
It was an extended pre-show match. That's what I called it. Yeah. It was an extended pre-show. If the pre-show was an hour long instead of a half an hour, this
would have been on it.
They would have been on pre-show.
Yeah.
And the show would have started at 7:30.
And I kind of wish that they did something like that, because it, like, that takes away from it. You only needed the five matches. You didn't need that sixth match.
Yeah.
That, like, that's going to lower the overall score of this show. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Exactly.
I don't know. I just wasn't really impressed at all. I think overall I would have to give that. That's going to be one of my lowest takeover scores ever. I probably only give that match about a 2.5.
I'm the same way. I probably only give it like a 2.
Yeah.
Even with the finish was decent, you know, with the Dakota miss and hitting Raquel, and then the Knox and Shotzi like double team to get Raquel out of the ring, and then, you know, at least it ended with a finish, like a finisher.
Yeah.
Hit her finisher to win it. So that kind of gave it a little bit. So, I would go with, like, I'd probably give it a 2.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'll take that extra 0.5 back and go with you with a 2 on that one.
Yeah.
So, you know, that opened the show up. It was decent, like I said, decent start, decent match, nothing crazy. And then from there, we got into our second match on the card, which, where did we go from that? What was the second match on this card?
It was Priest and Balor.
Priest and Balor, that's right, too. That was another one that kind of surprised me. I thought for sure that was going to be Damian Priest. They've been kind of building him up, and I felt like everything they've been doing with Finn and Finn losing, sure, he needed a win, but I honestly think Damian Priest needed that win more than he did.
I agree. I picked Priest. I thought that was the way they were going to go, to build him up a little more. Then I realized that, until I found out afterwards, that that Finn Balor now has the most wins ever on NXT TakeOver.
Ah.
I didn't know until after the match was over. So now the match is over. He makes sense on why Finn Balor wins. He's now the winner.
But what do you go with it? What do you go with it? You're not going to do Balor versus Cole again, please. I hope not.
You're going to have to. We haven't really done it yet.
I guess.
You didn't really do it. You kind of were going to do it, but then you had Balor went after Gargano instead. So
Yeah. I guess you're right. So we'll probably get Balor versus Cole next. Yeah,
you haven't done Balor versus Cole yet.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It builds up that it's going to be the longest reigning NXT champion versus the winningest NXT wrestler of all time or whatever, maybe, you know?
Yeah, and Balor will take the belt. Right. And he's going to lose to Karrion Kross at the end of the day. Karrion Kross is a future world champ.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So that match, it was a good match. That match I thought was dope. I enjoyed that match, the whole thing. Those two guys just put on a great show. That bump that Damian Priest took off of the ring onto his back on the stairs, holy shit.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
If you're one of those wrestling's fake people, watch that match, watch that bump. Tell me that bump was fake. You can't fake that.
Yeah, he definitely hit that. He hit it hard. He kind of crunched himself up when he went back to like take it, but he ended up bouncing himself off of it. Which I don't know if that was a good thing. It might have been a good thing, so it doesn't take as much damage. But it looked rough. It hit it hard.
It did. That was a good match, though. I think that match, I'm going to give that, like, it was one of my favorites on the show. I'm going to give that one 4 Bibles.
Yeah, I'd probably say, yeah, I would do probably 3.75 to 4. I'd probably do 4. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really good one. Then from there, we went to people run through the hallway. Oh, kind of shit. I told you it was crazy over here. So from there we went. Lost my whole train of thought there.
The backyard
was second to last match, third to last match.
Right. So what's the one we're missing?
We are missing Keith Lee versus Johnny Gargano.
Yeah.
This was another great match. I always enjoy Keith Lee. Keith Lee puts in work. Surprising at the end because I feel like Keith Lee has done his thing and it's his time to be brought up to the next level and to go for the NXT championship. But I guess if the plan is to go with Balor next, I see why you're not going to do anything with Lee and take the belt from him because you don't want him to just kind of sit around. He's a guy that he doesn't need the belt, but Keith Lee is a guy that makes the belt better, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It's tough because Lee's in that, he's in that position that he has to, that's why I thought Gargano was going to win it, because Lee has to, like, I don't think he would have lost it legitimately. I think he would have lost it by, like, nefarious ways, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought so too.
He tried to,
when he pulled that thing out of his trunks. Gargano pulled whatever.
I thought that was done.
I'm like, there we go. That's it. That's how he's taking this. Especially when the girls came out, I was like, yep, here we go. This is how Gargano's going to win the belt. Man, talk about Johnny Failure. He just can't seem to get it done. Like, they just hate that guy.
Yeah, and Keith Lee. I mean, Keith Lee's it's hard to beat. I mean, I thought he was going to lose it, and then he'd be next in line. Mm-hmm. So I took him, which I took Gargano. Everyone took Gargano because everyone thought the same thing.
Yeah, everybody thought that. Like, everyone was like, oh, Gargano's got to win this match.
So we can move Lee forward into the world title picture. But I guess they're going to hold off for that for now.
And who knows? This probably isn't going to be the end of their feud.
Probably not.
There's going to be more that's going to come from this. They'll go again. They might go at the next takeover. And maybe that's when it happens.
Maybe.
And they make that transition. I don't know. I kind of felt like it was – honestly – I felt like it was too early to have Candice LeRae's team lose and then Johnny Gargano lose, like on the same card. That was another thing. And it was like, oh, well,
it's true.
Gargano's definitely winning now because you're not going to have Gargano lose after you already had Candice lose. So this whole thing about them being the top of NXT is just kind of ruined. And it's like, okay, what are you going to do now? Because you just killed that.
Right. And it's definitely going to lead to – it looks like it's leading to Candice versus Mia. And Johnny versus Lee you know, at the next takeover. You know, it's like two single matches coming up, or maybe, I mean, they've done it to mixed tag already, but, you know, you're going to see those two matches again. So it could be that's when you have Candice and Johnny
Gargano get their wins. Yeah, it could be. That could be how they do it. This I really enjoyed this match. I like everything Keith Lee does. He's been my one of my favorites since he was in Evolve. And when I first started watching Evolve, he was down there. And guy just always puts on a great match. His athleticism, dude, a man his size, is just insane.
He looks
monstrous. Sarah called it. Sarah was like, he's winning.
Yeah.
He's winning. You should tell your friends that I picked that match. So it's on the podcast. And she's going to watch this. And she's going to be like, oh, you told me when I picked it. Yeah, she picked Keith Lee in that one.
He's so monstrous when it comes to, especially people who are a little smaller than he is. He can, like, throw around.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he just looks so monstrous when he does it. Like, putting Johnny through the plexiglass, knocking the
plexiglass. That was dope.
Like, you know, there was a good match. I would have given it – that match was a 4, easily.
Yeah, I agree with you. I give that one a 4. Yeah. I got 2 4s. Those were probably my 2 favorite matches on the whole card, though.
Yeah.
Then from there, we went to the –
Then it was the backlot
brawl, which is weird to me that it was so early in the card. And I guess that kind of, I thought Dream was going to win that one after the way that it was looking with everything with Dexter Lumis. But when I look back at it, you're not going to have Velveteen Dream win the title in the middle of the card.
Right. As soon as I realized that it was in the middle of the match, middle of the card, I was like, Dream's not winning.
Yep.
Like, you know, you're not going to do a heavyweight title change in the middle of a card.
No, like, not at all. And what's up with Dexter Lumis? How is Dexter Lumis a face?
I don't really know. I even forgot he was even involved with everything.
Yeah, he's been having this whole beef with them and, like, getting involved in shit. But I thought he would cost Velveteen the match. Whether he joined them or not, I thought he was going to cost Velveteen the match. Yeah. And then that didn't even happen. He just took them and took off. So, and that could be another setup. Maybe they're going to put Dexter Lumis against Adam Cole, but I don't like it because he doesn't make a good face.
No.
His character's just not a face.
It's not. He doesn't belong in there right now. Not unless it's just someone for Cole to beat.
Yeah. They got to find something else for him to do. Put him against somebody else. Put him somewhere else. He doesn't belong anywhere around Undisputed Era right now because he's just not, like, he's not a face. You don't have a baby face on your hands.
Right.
He's a heel.
I agree. Yeah, I didn't really care. The match was okay.
I didn't really like it. It came across as very fake.
I didn't like it looked good from, like, the distance, but then the match itself didn't look good at all.
Yeah, no. I like that bump when they put Adam Cole through the car window and it was, like, bleeding. That was kind of cool. But outside of that, it just didn't have a real feel.
No, it didn't.
Even the ending, even that the Panama Sunrise.
You even see it. I think that's what I didn't like about that too is that throughout the match, a lot of the spots you didn't see.
Yeah.
The way it was videoed or whatever, or taped.
And the darkness of it because they were outside and then, like, why wouldn't you put lights? If you're going to have that match, why wouldn't you have light rigging set up out there for it?
They're trying to make the way it looked and stuff, but I felt like you couldn't see anything.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You didn't get to see the spots. They didn't have the same feel to them because you could barely see the spots anyways.
Yep.
Even at the end I called the ending as soon as you saw the chairs in the ring. I thought it was going to be like, he was going to go for the Purple Rainmaker and miss.
Yep.
Land on the chairs and then Panama Sunrise for the win on the chairs. But you didn't really get to see any of it. Even when he was sitting on the chair, you could barely, the way they had the camera angles and the darkness and with the lights of the cars, it didn't look good. It looked good as a set piece, but as an actual match, didn't look good.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you on that one. I can't give this one more than 3 Bibles.
Yeah, I would go 3, and
That's being generous.
I'll give you a generous 3 only because Cole ended up winning, which is fine with me.
Yeah, yeah, and you have that interest, the whole thing, even though I don't think it makes sense, the whole Lumis thing coming out from under the ring and beating up the rest of Undisputed Era and driving them off, that was kind of cool. So there were some cool things, like I said, the spot through the car windshield, that was cool. But overall, it wasn't anything great. It just didn't do it for me.
There was a moment there where I was about to say something about why are there meters in the back, but – It was when I thought of back lot, I think of like the parking lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Like movie style back lot.
Yeah.
What threw me off about it, because I thought it was built and the thought process was that it was a back like parking lot.
Yeah.
Brawl, not a actual movie back lot draw brawl. You know what I mean? So at the minute there was like, why are there meters here? I was like, well, no, so it's an actual back lot, not an actual parking lot.
Yeah, it's like they tried to do Roddy Piper versus
Goldust
again, but just not as good.
No, it's not as good. And that was actual a parking lot that ended up coming into something else.
Yeah.
That was a whole different thing, but the idea of having a back lot and then actually being on a back lot. I'm like, first of all, where is this back lot? Why is there a random back lot behind Full Sail?
Yeah, that's weird to me. Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't that great. I thought there were going to be more. I heard that there was going to be a lot of wrestlers out back there. Couldn't even really see who was even around because it was just filmed poor. I'm kind of over these cinematic matches. They got to get away from them. I feel like Randy Orton versus Edge is going to be another one of those cinematic disasters.
Oh, terrible.
I just didn't do it for me. Not at all. Yeah,
I agree. I'm giving it a generous 3.
Yeah. Yeah. Then we had Killer Kross versus Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah.
It was a real quick match.
Yeah, but we kind of knew that. We knew it was going to be a squash. Everyone knew it was going to be a squash.
I didn't think it was going to be a squash. I thought they were going to have a good fight. I think a lot of us knew what the ending was going to be. Like,
right.
It was going to be a referee stoppage, knockout, submission, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just wasn't. I felt like it should have been longer. It should have been longer because of how you've built Ciampa up. But I guess it goes to building Kross up. So if you're going to push Karrion Kross, that's the way to do it and have him squash that. But now you're going to do it right. And you can't have Kross come out of this and fight his next match against somebody else and it's not a squash. He's got to continue to run through people. He just ran through Ciampa. So don't put him against... I don't know. Don't put him against anybody that he's going to squash. I mean, he's not going to squash.
You want to put him against, like, decent mid-carders that aren't, like, you wouldn't put him against, like, Keith Lee. But you put him against, a Killian Dane, maybe freaking the Bruiserweight there. Was it Pete Dunne? Maybe a Pete Dunne. Somebody, you know, maybe a Cameron Grimes, somebody who's got a little bit of like establishment in NXT, but can still be kind of like squashed somewhat by Kross. So he kind of builds up and beats up on the mid-card faces. That's what you should do. You should beat up the mid-card faces for a little while.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then work your way up the ladder.
Then he goes after. I mean, I could see them building up to like he's the one who beats Keith Lee.
That'd be interesting.
You know, it's like, okay, you want to take the belt off Keith, now you get somebody who could legit beat Keith Lee straight up in a guy like Kross.
And you put him in a fight, and they have a match, a good match. That would be great.
Fight, Kross wins it, North American title, then he can move Lee on to the world title.
Yep, yep.
And then Kross gets a nice little run with the North American title. That's how I would do it.
I don't even know how he can rate this match, just because it was kind of, it was a squash.
Yeah, it was an extended squash. I mean, it was a good. It wasn't a bad squash, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
It was expected squash. So, I thought it was. I gave it a 3 only because it was an expected squash with an expected finish that was like character building.
Yeah, I think they did a good job with it, and I'll give them a 3 just because it makes sense and it helps to build Kross if you're going to put a rocket on his back. But now you have to go through with it. You're going to strap the rocket to this guy.
Right. He's going to start beating people up.
Yep, yep.
Maybe beats up freaking Drake Maverick.
And it's always fun seeing Scarlett Bordeaux come out.
Yeah, exactly.
That guy has one of the best entrances in WWE right now. I love his entrance.
It's a good entrance. It'd be better if it was with a full stadium, but...
True story. Yeah, we'll see how that. Well, that's going to be great when we finally have fans back for that.
Right.
Then from there we hit the main event. I'll tell you, I was kind of upset when I heard the main event was going to be the women's match.
Well, yeah. As soon as I realized it was the main event, it's when I realized I was winning. I was like, you're not going to have the women's triple threat be the main event and have Charlotte keep the belt.
Well, you could have had Rhea do it.
But
when we were talking about in our group, it's too early to culminate that feud. Now they can still feud without the title.
Right.
Over costing each other the title.
That and also...
And the way that it finished allows Charlotte to say, hey, I had her in the figure eight.
Yeah.
And you got the pin.
Right.
It's by the way, she needs to stop doing that move because she can't get her back arched right. And her shoulders are always down on the mat for a three count every time before she does it.
It takes forever for her to pull it off. Yeah. I actually thought when she put her in it, I was hoping, it didn't work out that way, but I was hoping that after she threw the kendo stick out of the ring and then put Rhea in the figure eight, that Io would have just fucking smacked her right in the face with the kendo stick right across the freaking, right inside the, you know, underneath the bottom rope.
Yeah.
Just came across and whacked her. But doing the moonsault was fine. I actually thought she was going to do the moonsault onto Charlotte.
I did too.
She was going to do it onto Rhea. And it looked rough when she did because it looks like she'd need her right in the freaking head.
Yeah. Yeah. That match, let me tell you this. I was very much impressed with that match. Outside of Charlotte, because Charlotte was blown up 5 minutes into that match.
She was killed. Yeah, she was just, she needs to go away. Enough with Charlotte, man.
She just, like that, Charlotte looked worse there than she's looked in any other match.
Right. And not only that, she didn't look good. Right. And Charlotte's becoming, she's becoming Cena.
Roman Reigns?
That too.
Yeah.
Cena, Roman Reigns, in the sense that, like, she only does her spots and that's it. She always does the same. Her matches are all the same.
But the thing is, I don't know if she's not in as good shape anymore. Maybe COVID is kind of getting her out of shape, but she just looked like she was out of breath. Her moves weren't looking good. Like she couldn't get herself up for the figure eight. Her spear looked ass.
Yeah.
It was just bad. Like Charlotte looked bad. If they had Charlotte win, I would have been so disappointed because she didn't deserve to win because she just didn't look like the Charlotte Flair that was dominating before. You know, like she just, and you could tell that she was blown up.
Yeah.
She was just like visibly tired. Like I was expecting her to pull a Lex Luger and pull a chair out and sit down in the middle of the damn ring.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, this, like, she looks horrible right now.
Right. And I just think I think a lot of times too, her like psychology of the ring, like, is just wrong. You know what I mean? Like she started the match by rolling out of the ring. I'm like, this is a triple threat match. Like, you have to be involved in the match in order to not lose your title. Like, literally, Rhea could turn around, punch you in the face, pin her 1-2-3, and take your belt while you're sitting on the outside because you're being stupid.
Yeah.
It's like her psychology of the ring is like, oh, she, you know, I don't know. It's just the way her character is. Like, she just, this whole, like, I'm the queen, I'm the best type attitude. When you're clearly not the best.
She tries to be her dad, but doesn't do it right.
Right. It's just like, yeah, exactly. Because Rick could, like, get away with shit all the time.
If Flair did that, it would be like, that's Flair. That's just what he does. You know, he was waiting to come back in the ring. No, but Charlotte doesn't. It's not.
Which is why I was afraid, like, throughout the match. I was like, dude, I hope they don't let Charlotte, like, steal this match.
I kind of knew they wouldn't because here's the thing. If you look at what WWE has been doing through all of this shit, all of their main events end sending the crowd home happy.
Yeah.
Like, Vince has been doing a good job with that. With the end of the night, I want it to end on a happy note. I want people to be happy. I want them to celebrate. I want them to go home happy. That's the one thing they've been doing well. So I knew when I found out that was the main event, I was like, oh, Charlotte's not winning this. I thought Rhea at first, but then, like I said, knowing that there's no need to do it like that, it's like, all right, Io, let's give her that. And there was rumor and innuendo that her and Velveteen Dream were both going to get called up. And I said, Velveteen Dream's getting called up, but Io isn't. That was a red herring to me. I knew that rumor and innuendo wasn't real. And I don't know, I just felt it was, I felt it. And I was like, yeah, that's not really going to happen like that. Definitely not going to happen. Io's winning this because of that. Like, that's what convinced me.
I took Rhea at first for just that reason, because it was the main event. I was like, oh, well, all right, good. They're going to give the belt back to Rhea. But then realized as the match was going, I was like, man, they're not going to give Rhea. Rhea's not going to be a two. There's only been two-time champions of the NXT belt. It's only been Shayna and Charlotte.
Yep.
I don't see them putting Rhea with that.
And even if they do it, they're not going to do it yet. It's too soon to do it with it.
Not going
to
do it yet. And then when I realized Io's only had, like, they made an announcement during the match where this was, like, Io's fifth, like, title shot. It was, like, Rhea's, like, 10th. And it was, like, Charlotte's freaking, like, 70th or something. Something stupid. Where it's just like, dude, then there's no way that Charlotte's winning. And they're probably not going to put the belts on Ripley. So Io's winning this thing.
Yeah,
and you know, which is fine. I'm fine with Io winning it.
It was a good match. I think outside of Charlotte, if you could take Charlotte out of the match, I would probably give that one this four Bibles. I'm only going to give it 3.5.
Yeah, Io is getting all the spots. She was getting all the big spots. I'm like, dude, you're not going to give her all the big spots and have her lose.
So she's got to win.
You know, she's jumping off the top of the house. She's freaking doing moonsaults, you know, everywhere. Like, she's not freaking, you know, doing big spots off the top rope. Like, doing all kinds of shit. Like, she's not going to get all these big spots and then lose the match.
And then lose the match. It just didn't make sense for that to happen.
It didn't make sense. She's like, she's winning this thing. And that's fine. And everyone goes, they're happy, and she's now the NXT champion. And now WWE has two Japanese female champions.
I didn't even think about that.
In Asuka.
Look at that. Yeah.
Mio and Asuka are now two Japanese female champions.
Yeah, yeah. I expect Velveteen Dream to be up on the main roster, by the way, this week.
I would agree with that. Yeah. I don't know where he goes. Probably he's going to SmackDown. I don't know. They just moved Riddle to SmackDown, and they're moving Dijakovic to Raw. So,
yep.
I don't know where he goes. Maybe he goes to Raw. I mean, he could fit in with Raw. I think he fits in more with Raw than he does SmackDown. I think so too,
but you always got to wonder if Fox. Does Fox want him there?
That's the problem. It's Fox.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see, but I think we'll see it. We'll find out later on this week where he ends up. So, what do you give the show overall?
I'd give the show overall. It was a good one. I'd give it a 3.5.
I'm going to go with that. Like, if I do the math on how I scored everything, it comes up to 3.25. But just the overall, like, when I do overalls, and I kind of got this from Travis, shout out to God Hates Geeks, I kind of like to take in everything, like the entertainment value of everything, and not just on the matches, just the whole production of it. It was cool seeing Todd Pettengill back there.
The retro commercials are kind of funny.
Yeah, it was cool. They did a really good job at making it feel like in your house for the old school fans.
Right. The retro commercials were kind of funny. When hearing William Regal like talk about the following commercials are paid for by the following.
I was like, the hell is that, the
old school freaking commercial.
Todd Pettengill. Technology has pretty much killed 900 numbers.
Yeah, we don't do 900 numbers anymore. AOL chat.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
Yeah, that was cool. They did a good job overall. Three and a half. Good solid pay-per-view.
It was solid, right. Wasn't fantastic. Wasn't terrible. About 3.5, which is about where they, you know, it's a good solid pay-per-view for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, not the best in the world. It wasn't TakeOver New Orleans.
Right.
But nothing's TakeOver New Orleans.
Yeah, there wasn't anything. I think that there was nothing that really, there wasn't a match that like completely stood out.
Yep.
Like, dude, that was a fantastic match. I mean, there were some good solid ones, but nothing over the top. They were like, man, that was a, man, you know, no, like that first ever North American ladder match.
Yeah.
Which is still like one of my favorite NXT matches of all time. That very first when that was New Orleans, right? Yeah.
That was New Orleans.
That's when Adam Cole won it for the first time, right?
Yep.
Yeah. That was that one with like the six guys. That was a ridiculous match. That's still probably one of my favorite NXT matches of all time.
Me too. Absolutely. And
so, you know, if that's like your top, if that's my like top level, I mean, there was nothing that was like very high level in this one. It was solid, man. There's some good, like you said, take out the 6-man women's match, put that on the pre-show, keep it with just 5. I think you're probably in the same boat. Probably 3.5, 3.75.
You might even go up to a 4 without that first match, because that kind of took it down a little bit.
Yeah.
That might say it was a 4 without that. So here's the thing. It was much needed with what we're going through. Just like we've had the COVID thing, and we had a couple good shows coming from different companies. This was much needed with everything going on today, with all the protests and the riots. We needed another feel-good night to get people just out of that shit and off of what's going on, and let people just be entertained and have fun. And that's what they did tonight. It was entertaining. Yeah. It was fun. The whole show, even the matches that weren't great, they were fun.
Right.
And that you can't ask for more, and especially in a time like this with no fans and yeah, all these riots and protests and all this shit. It was very well needed. They did a really good job. I'm very happy with what they did. Now, I don't know that I'm going to be so happy next week with Backlash. I think it's going to be shit. And also, rumor and innuendo, I don't know how true this is, but I heard that Backlash is a taped show, and they started taping today.
I think it is a taped show.
Why?
Because it's part of that. I told you, it was part of that whole, like, they did like two and a half or three weeks worth of tapings for WWE for, like, they did it for like the month of June. So, like, because of all this.
But it's a pay-per-view.
I get it. I know.
It should be live. Like, Backlash should be live. Like, what is this? Ring of Honor?
I agree, dude. And I also think that.
Actually, Ring of Honor doesn't even do that. What is this? Impact?
Right. Yeah. And I just think it's, I mean, I don't know. I think this whole, I mean, we can go on hours about it, but I think the whole coronavirus thing has kind of run its course with WWE. Like, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, other things are getting ready to come back and go back to being normal. The WWE needs to kind of just, like, I look at it like, do you either get shit or get off the pot?
Yeah, like, no, I agree.
Either just freaking, just let's go. Like, you're not going to get, I mean.
Or at least do them live. Just give me live shit. Yeah. Don't give me this tape. Live. I don't want to watch a tape pay-per-view. I really don't. I'll watch it. I'll review it. I'll shit on it next week. That's what's going to end up happening because I know I'm going to shit on it. Greatest match ever isn't going to be. We're going to shit on it when we preview it next week on Smart Spot Monkeys and Superkick. So
it's funny how they got they're calling the greatest match ever on a pay-per-view that has AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan.
You know?
But they're calling Randy Orton.
Like, really?
Greatest match ever.
That's, like, it's just stupid. Here, it's just stupid.
It is dumb. It's dumb, and, you know, I agree. It's not going to be, I mean, and because it's going to be taped, it's going to be probably not that great.
Nope.
It's going to be dumb.
Nope.
There's going to be some dumb things in it. So, who knows?
Yeah, but whatever. We'll still tune in. We're gonna preview it. So, if you're watching this next week on our regular podcast, it'll be our Backlash Pit Stop, so we'll break that down for you, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of other shit to talk about going on. We'll hopefully by then we'll know, depending on when we tape, we'll know if Velveteen Dream's up on the main roster yet or not. But I don't know, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to doing that. I always like the Pit Stop shows. I like doing these two now. These are real fun, our review shows. I did it with Travis Moody last time. This time I got Mike here with me, my normal partner. We're supposed to have a few guys from the Apostles, but none of them ever got back to me to do it. So just ended up just being us, but maybe they'll be here for Backlash. Who knows? Let's put a bow on this thing, wrap it up and get out of here. I got a bunch of drunk girls waiting. I gotta go in there. Anything you want to say before we get out of here?
No, it was a good show. That was fine.
Fun show.
Good solid show by NXT.
Fun show. Good times. Black Lives Do Matter. Listen, don't fucking run around with guns in the streets during this shit. It's just stupid.
So dumb.
Go sit home, have some beers, and watch NXT. Right. I mean, I could maybe see it during Backlash, but come on, man. Takeover tonight.
It's like you got it. Protest. Great. Wonderful. Go get a job. Go back to work.
I'm not even talking about that side. I'm talking about the racist guys that were standing up there with fucking AR-15s to shoot.
That's my point. Though, like, you know,
they need to get a job too or something. Like, open it up so these people can go back to work too. Because now you get a bunch of angry white people with guns. And they're not cool with that.
Ireland is, you know, we're supposed to, you know, it's supposed to be another phase to open up things. Like, good. Then let's go back to work. Like, let's get people back
to work. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm gonna say Rodney King. I'm going to be a Rodney King and say, can we all just get along?
Seriously.
I'm saying, like, it's whatever, but we'll have that conversation another time. This isn't about that. This is about a good night, a fun night we had. NXT was great. I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with some of these feuds and some of these storylines, where Velveteen Dream ends up on the main roster. And I'm really looking forward to next week's show when we preview Backlash, as well as Friday, next week's Flashback Friday, when we review John Cena versus Rob Van Dam at One Night Stand.
Yes.
And other than that, we're out of here. You guys enjoy your night. I know I'm going to enjoy mine. Until next time, I'm Sean Puff.
And I'm IK.
And this has been Smarks, Spot Monkeys, and Super Kicks. Take over in your house review show. Peace out. Big ups, Boston.